This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, November 8th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk is the proud new owner of Twitter, but his control of the social media company could be a problem for his bigger and more lucrative business, Tesla. As Musk tries to tackle thorny issues like Twitter's content moderation policies, his choices may affect how governments around the world treat his other companies. On today's show, Stephen Wilmot, Europe editor for The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column, joins us to sort through these issues and how Musk and his companies will have to navigate them. That's after these headlines. It's election day in the U.S., and one group that's significantly increased its political spending in this year's midterms is the crypto industry. Cryptocurrency firms have poured $73 million into the 2022 elections. That's a $60 million increase from the 2020 cycle, according to research group Open Secrets. The jump in spending comes as crypto prices have nosedived and regulators impose more scrutiny on the industry. The sector is looking to gain influence in Washington. In particular, it hopes to see two bills get passed. One to write exemptions for cryptos into securities and tax laws. Another to give oversight of the two biggest tokens, Bitcoin and Ether, to a regulator that would have to write rules from scratch. Earnings from Lyft are out. The ride-hailing company says ridership remained below its pre-pandemic highs last quarter, but it still managed to see an increase in revenue. Income for the quarter was $1.05 billion, up 22% from the same time last year. That's the slowest growth it's seen in more than a year. Though ridership remained low, Lyft earned more money per ride after a year-long driver shortage pushed prices of trips to record highs. Last week, Lyft said it was cutting 13% of its staff to deal with the impact of inflation and a possible economic downturn. Speaking of job cuts, the recent spate of layoffs from big tech companies could be a win for startups. Flush with investor cash, many early-stage startups plan to hire software developers, engineers, and marketers that have been let go from the likes of Twitter, Lyft, and others. WSJ Pro venture capital reporter Angus Lowton says while this may seem like an ideal time to scoop up top talent, some investors think these companies should tread carefully.
There's a reason why these larger tech companies are laying people off. The economy is not looking good, and the longer that lasts, the harder it's going to be for these smaller companies to hold on to these folks and be able to pay the kinds of salaries that they command. A lot of bigger companies made the same mistake in 2021 when there's just so much money in the venture capital world. They hired up, they started spending a lot more money than they would have in more lean times and been more a little more due diligent about how they were handling that cash. And that's what experts are urging these earlier companies to do right now.
Foxconn is deepening its investment in electric vehicle maker Lordstown Motors. The two companies said Monday that Foxconn will spend $170 million buying common stock and newly created preferred shares in Lordstown. If the deal is approved by U.S. authorities, it'll give the EV maker a needed injection of cash to increase production of its debut car model Endurance. Foxconn and Lordstown also said they would jointly develop their first EV together, but declined to provide more details about the project. And in one of his first moves to change what can be said on Twitter, Elon Musk is cracking down on accounts that impersonate others on the platform. Over the weekend, he said those accounts will be permanently suspended unless they're specifically labeled as parodies. Musk, who refers to himself as a free speech absolutist, had his account parodied by several celebrities after he took over Twitter. All right, speaking of changes to Twitter, how could the business ties of one of Musk's other companies, Tesla, affect how the social media company is run? We'll discuss after the break.
The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
Since taking over Twitter, Elon Musk has reiterated his idea that the platform should be a global town square to share ideas. But what ideas get shared or promoted could be a problem, not just for advertisers on Twitter, but for Musk's other businesses. Tesla, for example, relies heavily on China, a place where speech is often tightly restricted, and where the government often tries to control the narrative about it outside its borders as well. So how could Musk's new ownership of Twitter affect his EV company and its ties to Beijing? Joining us to discuss that is Stephen Wilmot, Europe editor for The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there.
So Twitter is officially blocked in China, but it is used by some companies and individuals who can find some workarounds. Can you lay out what Beijing's view of Twitter is and how much it cares about what is said about it?
Well, they take a dubious view to Twitter, just like they do to other US tech platforms who are mostly banned in China. And obviously, the whole idea of being able to express your opinions very openly is a bit inimical to Beijing's authoritarian tendencies. And I would say the other way in which they have a relationship with Twitter, as it were, is that they've been accused of producing content to influence US elections and so forth.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the broader connections between Musk and China, and one of the big ones being Tesla. Can you talk about how much Tesla needs China?
China is really important to Tesla. It's hard to overstate how important it is, even in the context of the auto industry, where China is the largest market and it's been the largest profit pool for a long time. And Tesla makes about a quarter of its revenues in China, but that's in a way not the main source of dependency. The main source of dependency is in production. So its Shanghai factory is by far its biggest production base, and it's also its hub for global exports. Tesla is trying to diversify away from its reliance on China a bit by building up production in Germany and more in Texas. At this point, about 40% of its production capacity is in China.
How difficult is it to diversify away from China? I mean, you mentioned it's working on factories in Germany and Texas, but is that a quick process? Is that one that's really going to separate it a lot from Beijing?
No, it's going to take time. And one of the other facets is it's not just production, like final assembly of cars, but it's also the whole supply chain. And in common with the rest of the EV industry, I mean, this isn't a Tesla-specific thing, but the whole EV industry has a huge dependence on China because of the battery supply chain, because of China's industrial policy and its subsidies for EVs. And this is the problem here, that much of Elon Musk's wealth is tied up in this company over which China has a lot of leverage. And I guess then the question is, what does that leverage mean for Tesla if something happens on Twitter that Beijing disapproves of? Are they going to hold that against Tesla in some way?
I mean, that's a really interesting question. I wonder, you mentioned the whole battery supply chain kind of being tied up with China. So other electric vehicle makers and also, companies like Apple making their iPhones there. How have they negotiated dealing with Beijing and making sure the Chinese government stays happy while also being global companies? Because I guess it's worth wondering how that worked for companies that aren't social media companies, that aren't dealing with content moderation.
Sure. I mean, most companies just try and keep very quiet politically. Apple is obviously another US company that's very dependent on China because of its supply chains. And Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, tends not to make big political statements, tries to satisfy all sides. It's the same with the established car industry, VW, BMW. They have a big dependence on China. If they ever make any kind of political statement, it tends to be very generic, like they support global trade, something like that. And Elon Musk tends to do things differently, for better or worse. And, he's used political statements to really ingratiate himself with the regime in Beijing, most recently over Taiwan. Sort of talked about Taiwan finding some accommodation with Beijing. Anyway, Beijing loved it, Taiwan less so. And he's actually done the same with Putin in Russia last month, but Russia's a less important market. So he has this interesting record of ingratiating himself somehow with these authoritarian regimes that might also like a lot of luxury cars, whilst also playing the kind of white knight for free speech in the US. And although he's managed to kind of walk that line successfully so far, it gets a lot harder with this Twitter purchase, because suddenly all of these, the global elements, like the misinformation campaigns that might be run by Russia or China or Iran on Twitter, they suddenly become his problem.
Has he said anything about how he might deal with things like that, particularly, say, misinformation campaigns?
I'm not aware that he's said anything. I mean, at the moment, he's obviously made clear that he's going to leave content moderation the way it is, and he's desperately trying to keep the status quo for now. I mean, I think this is mainly for the benefit of advertisers at this point, rather than because relations with foreign regimes have become a flashpoint. The risk really is, I think, to Tesla's Chinese operations. I mean, the Chinese regime has a history of discouraging consumers from purchasing consumer products. When there are geopolitical tensions, it's happened with certain Japanese companies, it's happened with certain South Korean companies at certain points. So Tesla is particularly, it was always perhaps at risk from rising geopolitical tensions, but it seems like it's much more at risk now.
Does it seem like the US or other Western countries might also put pressure on Twitter or on Tesla, given the relationship that it has with China?
Absolutely. Obviously, the scrutiny of social media has only grown in Western regimes. So it certainly doesn't feel like it will be easy for Musk to dial back any of the content restrictions in a way that would, you know, make it easy, I suppose, for pro-Chinese voices to be heard or anything like that. He's stuck between this US paradigm of free speech and the reality that his global car manufacturing empire relies on an authoritarian regime in a very large part. And he's trying to juggle so many balls that you wonder when one's going to drop.
I guess we'll just have to watch and see. That's Stephen Wilmot, Europe editor for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on the show.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival, when the Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today for a 3-day premium pass and get your second one free. This offer ends on November 18th. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.